Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down, and that foot is me.
Welcome to it, weekend editions here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Mark Kranak. It is here, huh? College football finally is back. Florida and Miami tonight. Or depending on how you're betting, Miami and Florida tonight. So we'll get into it. Nebraska football, pretty newsworthy Friday as Nebraska broke fall camp and they get ready for South Alabama. Pretty interesting with Coach Frost and his thoughts on the offensive line. The depth chart should be released here. I'm thinking Monday, but maybe beforehand something will sneak out. And, you know, the optimism that is very thick in all Nebraska football nation. And are you a part of that optimism? Yes is the answer. How far do you go with your optimism for 2019? We'll get into it. You can dial us up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and give us a follow on Twitter. Got a text from Kranak. GD Snooze. Who hasn't been bitten by that, right? I mean, your clock will set, your body clock will set to a natural bounce out of the rack 7 a.m. by next Saturday for sure. Because it's Nebraska football, it's the season opener, and you'll be on your way to tailgate. You'll be on your way, hopefully, to the rail yard to kick it with us as we'll be down in the rail yard, live from the Hail Varsity Herdat offices. But, yeah, we'll get Kranak here in a minute. A couple of big-time guests this week. We're excited to have the rewind with Grant Wistrom, Husker legend. We'll hear from Grant here about 7:30. And then, time permitting, we will run down Coach DiNardo. It's been a long week, right, as you wait for Nebraska football to get here. Coach DiNardo and the Big Ten bus crew rolled through Lincoln. Was that Monday?
Yeah, doesn't it feel like it was
years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, this week has been, well, it's been that last little stretch of camp, man. You got to get over the hump. So you can get in with us on Twitter or the phone numbers or email. Chris Schmidt, that's me. Thanks for tuning in at Schmidt_radio. Or Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. Real quick, thank you. Thank you to everybody that wore red, which was all of you, that came out to Wilderness Ridge last night. That was fun. That was fun to be out on the deck. That was fun to talk some Nebraska football with Jay Moore. That was fun to get caught up with Mike Shewhart. We appreciate Wilderness having us out. It was just an incredible time. A side note from that, we celebrated the bunny, my wife, her birthday. It's actually tomorrow, but a few of our friends got together and they got her. She took a shot last night. She doesn't take shots. She's taken like three shots in her life, right?
Two of them were yesterday.
Well, one was yesterday, one was for 21, and one was when she hit 30. So there's your three. I won't go into too much further detail what number is next to her name tomorrow. But there we are. So, Colton, let's dive into Coach Frost here in this Cam Jurgens announcement. If you missed it yesterday, Coach Frost spent a little bit of time kind of laying out, you know, why Jurgens is the guy. And right. I mean, it doesn't throw you off too much, right? If you're a Nebraska fan that, well, Jurgens is the guy because of what he's invested and what Nebraska's invested, transforming and switching his positions. And it's something they analyzed and thought about and said this could be game-changing, and that's exactly the word Coach Frost used.
You know, we started one man down in fall camp at center. I thought the guys that were in did a really good job. I think Will Farniak's got a bright future here. Still young, but he did some really good things. Piper did some really good things being new to our program. AJ Forbes did well. Wegner did well. That being said, we look a little different with Cam Jurgens back and full speed now. So we got to keep him healthy, but I think he's going to be a game changer for us on the inside of the line.
That's got to make you feel all right if you're Nebraska because of the potential there. Now, the question here is, and I think Shuey laid it out perfect yesterday, they either don't have anybody else, which I don't think that's the case. I think they have options. But I think that they are just a different team, and you heard Coach Frost say it, with a guy like Cam Jurgens, because you've got that athleticism, you have that size, and you have, well, that toughness, right? One thing you know about Cam Jurgens is he's a guy that's had to battle injury, but he's persevered through that injury. You know he's mentally tough from fighting back with a couple of, well, one for sure in high school, and then whatever has sidelined him from full contact some of the spring and into the fall. So,
well, and it's a really interesting like setup because you're taking a tight end, which isn't, you know, most people aren't going to say their most athletic position out on the field is a tight end, but you still have to be you have to be an athlete to play tight end.
You got to have feet, you got to have movement, you got to be fluid, and you have to be big and fast.
Especially in this offense too, because you are a crucial part of it. So to take that and move it three spots inside.
And by the way, put on about 60.
Yeah. So it's an incredible feat that he's ready to go now to play that position, let alone staying healthy to play it too.
It is a big time feat. And again, that's the commitment. That's Zach Duvall. That's Coach Austin. That's Coach Frost. And that's a credit to Jurgens, right? Hey, dude, I know you've grown up rocking in Beatrice, touching the ball all the time. How about you do this? How about you do this at the Big Ten level? And with your size, go to work on some of them fire hydrants in the A gap. That's what would freak me out. And, you know, when we talk to Searles and we hear from Searles, because the thing that he's done and done well in the NFL is play all three spots. He's played tackle, he's played guard, and he's worked at center. And you know how big that dude is. He's 6'6". Mm-hmm. Jurgens 6'5", right? 6'5".
Somewhere around there, 6'5", 6'6".
Right, 6'5", 6'6". You know, Kranak and I, someday, if we stand on top of each other, we'll be 6'5", or 6'6". Point is that's hard. That is absolutely hard to maintain your pad level and leverage. Oh, and by the way, snap the ball and get the calls right. It's just tough to get lower than the next guy you're trying to block at that size. But with the size you do have, good luck getting around. And if you can move on and matriculate on up to the linebackers after you take care of your line guy, and then you get to the third level, look out. Kranak, we're talking Jurgens here and the move Frost made, now coming to fruition here with camp. Wrap it up, and South Alabama prep starting on Monday. Pretty big-time commitment for all parties here to move forward, and Farniok's done well, but Nebraska's just a different program with Jurgens. If he can stay healthy, you got to be excited for the offense, man.
It's a remarkable turn of events if you think about what Cam Jurgens was doing a year ago, right? Like, just it's incredible. One, think about offensive line in general. Pretty difficult to play early.
Yeah.
Difficult to play as a young player. Center in particular is the most probably demanding of those spots. Mentally, right? Like, it's just, you just have to know a lot more. You have to make all the calls. You have to kind of organize all the chaos. This dude he's never played that position. And within a year, put it this way, his physical gifts must be off the freaking charts. If he's able to overcome all that, right? He's never played offensive line in his life. let alone center. And he just passes every other offensive. How many linemen are on the roster right now?
Like, well, I mean, Frost laid out. I mean,
27,
I think. And he laid out Wagner from Iowa Western that came in as a center, right? You've got Piper from Norfolk that they switched from the defensive to the offensive side. You've got Forbes, right? Hunter Miller is a guy who's done snaps before.
And Farniok's then got it in his blood.
Right, and then I just was getting to little Farniok.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the names we just laid out, all of which have played some center before.
Yeah. Dude, he must be – well, and – do you think he's got it all figured out in terms of all the line calls and everything? No,
I think what maybe expedited this process was his mental commitment.
Right.
So does he have it all figured out? No. Is there enough done because of what he's put in on top of whatever injury rehab's been going on? I mean, it's remarkable is the word. And you need to square it for what's going on here. And they're sticking with it. This is their vision. And if you go from good to great offensively because of this piece, then you're all for it as a Nebraska fan.
And then Frost sort of underselling it, saying our offense looks a bit different with him in there. Just a bit. Probably more than a bit.
Take that and run with it, right?
Yeah, if you're going to – it's ridiculous. It's hard to think of a – like, I understand a position switch of receiver to DB.
Uh-huh.
Or running back to receiver or something. Like, but tight end to center? What is that?
It's like the last guy I know who did it was a guy who played quarterback, then went to tight end, and then started 3 years for Lou Holtz. And that was Rick Kaczynski.
There you go.
That's the one guy I know who did it. And you have the knowledge of the playbook because of the quarterback background. Yeah. You're athletic and big enough to be a tight end. Then you slap on a few more stakes on the old training table plate. There you go. I think it's. Mm-hmm. I think the key to it, though, because I mean, like, let's just go down like the mental checklist. Okay, what you need for starting center in the Big Ten? Well, you need to be brilliant, and you need to know and think more so than just trench warfare guy. Okay, mm-hmm. You got to think beyond your assignment while executing your assignment. And you have to be so talented and so gifted with your feet and your movement and see what the defense is trying to disguise, okay? And if you put all that together and then you get that little badassery of where you like to maul people, that's kind of the third component, right? You got to be phenomenal with your athleticism. You got to be brilliant with the playbook. And then you got to be a dude that likes to just kick people's ass in the bar.
Right.
And yeah. And you shake it up and poof, here comes the center.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting to see what the offense looks like. And let's be honest, not all of us are watching offensive linemen all the time. You notice tackles when they're getting burned by NFL talent. Uh-huh. Right. But for the most, you're watching the ball. Most people. But This is a thing where I'm probably going to be watching center a little bit more.
Sure.
As much as I can, just to see what the hype's about. Just to see how this guy who is playing tight end gets pegged that quickly by Frost as somebody that needs to make a switch and needs to become the center of the future. Or how about the center of now?
Sure.
I thought this was going to be a project. When they moved him over, didn't you think, oh, okay, that's good. He's going to learn for a couple of years, how to play the freaking position at the Division I level? I thought it was going to be a project.
Maybe he's quick a learner.
Come on.
Well, and we were talking yesterday, how do you view this as I view it like Frost said it. They're just a different looking team with him, right? I'm paraphrasing. But that's why they're doing this versus, well, we really don't have anybody. I don't believe that. I think they've got serviceable people. And some of the kids may be more than serviceable. Some of them may be like good centers, okay? But I think, again, that jump from good to great, if you go this route, they're not afraid to give it a shot.
Yeah, that's a little emblematic, you know, that whole
no
desire to excel, no fear of failure thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's emblematic of that. And it's hard to believe that's a week from today.
I can't wait.
When was this guy, when was he moved to center? It was after the year, wasn't it?
Remember spring ball? Greg Austin, his little sidebar. And they threw out the Ribbington word where they start talking about, dude, this guy, you put some weight on him. You look at his smarts, you look at his toughness, you look at his athleticism. You could have something. And Austin's like, bro, you just said the Ribbington word. So wow. It was Scott's kind of vision on it. And Austin's like, let's do it. And here we are today, a week before kickoff. Mike, you know, and we were talking a little bit yesterday, when you look at Nebraska's schedule, and Colton, I needed you weigh in on this too, partner, because we were on site yesterday at Wilderness. I didn't get your take on it, and I want your take, Kranak, as we move off of Juergens. But Juergens is a key, or the center spot is a key puzzle piece to this. But when you look at Nebraska's schedule, because right now you're putting up your Hail Varsity poster, or you're going through and it's ink or pencil, right? Mm-hmm. What you're filling out a week before, maybe you do it Friday night before the first home game. When you fill out your schedule in your garage or your Husker den, okay, when you make your predictions. And when you look at Nebraska's schedule, do you see 10 wins first, or do you see like potentially 4 losses? How do you, when you comb through Nebraska's opponents and where they fall and who they got, what kind of jumps up to you first? What are you wrestling with? Is it win, just W's all across the board because of what you think this team can be? Or do you pause and go, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of 7-point ball games again. Mm-hmm. I think this squad's going to be better at those 7-point outcomes as they continue to stockpile talent and then eventually separate themselves from teams like Minnesota, like Purdue, like Iowa. I mean, that's the hope if you're a Nebraska fan, is that you kind of go back to, not that they've done that here in the Big Ten, but back to the Big 12 days and Big 8, where it's your division, mm-hmm. at least. It's your West division. And I'm kind of somewhere in the middle where I can absolutely find 10 wins, but I'm a little hesitant to not say there's going to be a misstep somewhere here or there, just because it is such a demanding league they're in. And Colorado will also tell us a lot with this team. So I don't immediately jump to 4 losses when I look at their schedule and how things are placed, mm-hmm. but I don't go, you know, 6th gear, 10 wins, just because they are that young on offense. They're very good and talented, but the youth. I'm excited about the defense. I think you're going to see a big jump defensively. I think the attitude and the effort the last 6-7 games was phenomenal. That'll carry over. They'll be better at stopping people this year, mm-hmm. and that'll be big. So I'm going to call my shot with a lot of people wearing red and white and say probably 9-3. Mm-hmm. We can put ink to it next Saturday with our predictions.
Yeah, I'm kind of somewhere in between two. I look at the season almost in 3-4 game sections, because the first 4 games will tell you a lot about what this team's going to look like and what kind of I don't want to say how they deal with a win, but if they start 4-0, obviously that gets them off to a good start. And I think that's the easiest place to look to get your first four wins. Colorado is still kind of – you don't know where your mind wants to go on that yet.
My mind's made up. I think they're going to drop – I think they're going to drop a nuke on Ralphie is what's going to happen.
But Elijah and I were talking about this. I can find 8-4, 9-3, I think, pretty easily. But 10-2 means you probably beat Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
And but then that means who do you lose to? And I think that means you probably lose a trap game, whether it's Indiana or Maryland, and you probably lose to maybe Northwestern or Minnesota somewhere in there. But I think that means you probably beat Ohio State, or you just beat everybody else in the West and you lose to Ohio State. I can find 10, and it's not very hard, but I can't really convince myself that it's that 10-2 is the number.
Yeah. Cranack, where are you at, man? I mean, have you...
Head or heart?
Yeah. Yes.
Head or heart? Which one do you want me to tap into here?
Well, we'll start with heart.
11-1. They're going to go 11-1.
Good for you. Good for you.
And they're going to fall to either Wisconsin or Northwestern.
Okay.
One of the two. Head, I'm going to come back to that 9-3.
Okay.
But look, we're always optimistic, I think, going into seasons. And I've not seen a more optimistic outlook. I just haven't had one. You know, it's hard to, you see how committed the crux of the team is. You know, it's a different vibe. That's a different animal in Lincoln right now than let's rewind 3 years ago or what. It's not even it's barely recognizable compared to what it was. And the schedule is perfect. It is the perfect schedule. Like, look at that schedule. What part of that schedule would you be like, oh, that's God, the Big Ten did us no favors here.
I agree that it's a far cry from 2017's death march, where you're on the road against everybody that matters, and your home games weren't a picnic either.
Two bye weeks in the middle of October, in November. I mean, like right at the exact time of year where you sort of need to hit the reset button physically.
That's very fair. That's a great take, actually.
You know, Nebraska's got – they'll play seven games. They'll be dinged up. It'll be mid-October. It's starting to get cold. You get a week off. Take it easy, guys. Get in the cold tub. You're going to be fine. Then you come back, and here comes Indiana and then Purdue. And then it's like, you know what? Guys, why don't you take another week off before Wisconsin comes to town? Like – are you serious?
I do.
Perfect.
I do not like Maryland.
I don't either.
I don't like Illinois. I don't like Illinois before Ohio State.
I don't know. That's their first road game. Or no, it's not the first road game. It's the Big Ten opener, though.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of Husker fans there. I don't know.
I'm not saying it's like anything to worry about. I just don't
like... You just said the Illini are going to beat Nebraska.
I did not. I did not. I did call the Illini to beat Nebraska where Tommy decided to not fall on it, and Illinois got the ball back, and they found Geronimo in the end zone.
I just got no faith in Lovey. Do you?
I think he's recruiting his ass off. I mean, I think they got some good talent.
They do.
And they got a quarterback from Michigan, that Peters kid, who's not super special, but
no, that's
better,
what I'm saying.
Better than they had. I'm not saying it. I'm just listen. They're not going to lose to Illinois. I'm just saying you could order another couple more rounds of Crown ahead of time to deal with something that may get uncomfortable. Not a loss, but a little drama because you got Ohio State looming. The classic look ahead, man, and it bites a lot of college football teams. It does.
You got Northwestern the following week, which
yeah.
Okay, so if Ohio State, say Nebraska pulls that one off.
Uh-huh.
I think in general Nebraskans have been sort of hesitant to accept Northwestern into the big boys club?
The world has been hesitant to accept Northwestern into the big boys club, and they just punch you in the gut regardless and beat you.
So that I don't think the atmospheres for Northwestern games have been that great. I don't think fans have like circled that one as being excited about that game. But I think at this point
they've been the best games.
Yeah, if they don't have your attention now, so like if
that's
if
on Nebraska, you.
If Nebraska pulls off Ohio State, this place will be on fire, right? It's just going to be like we haven't seen it. I just don't even understand like the environment, the positive vibes, the whatever. Because it's already off the charts.
Make your trip for the college football playoff.
If you beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
By the way, if they do that, they vault into the top 15.
Or.
If not 10.
Yeah. I mean, they're
okay.
Yep.
So now you're top 10, and then here comes Northwestern the next week.
And the last time Nebraska was a top 10 program, they had just beaten Michigan State. And who comes to town to win 28-25?
Northwestern. That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. I think that atmosphere is going to be ridiculous. And then that following week, you're at Minnesota. That is a critical three-game stretch.
Oh, it's huge.
Ohio State, Northwestern, Minnesota, back to back to back.
There's your three.
Yep, you got two of those at home. You got the perennial favorite, the team that's won more games than any other program in college football the last 15 years. You got Northwestern, who's what? Were they like 22-1 against the division or something lately?
They're 20-8 in like 3-point games. It's insane.
Well, and then against the division in particular, they've just been dominating it the last 2 years.
They've been phenomenal. I mean, they went 8-1 last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then Minnesota, overall, who's the upstart, who say what you want about row the boat, but that dude has had a couple programs humming.
Yep.
After he's been there for a few years, and that's the talk, is that he's going to have it again. And Nebraska embarrassed them last year.
That was fun.
It was. Embarrassed them for the first win last year, but embarrassed them.
That was fun.
So they're going to be ready for that. Those 3 weeks, man, September 28th to October 12th. If Nebraska gets through that undefeated and then goes into a bye week, dude, might want to start.
Keep preaching.
You might want to start looking into hotels in Indy.
Done, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to step away. Rewind is coming up. Our dear friend Grant Wistrom. And get the Black Shirt's thoughts on all things Nebraska for 2019. A reminder, Sauter Heyman is there for you for another football season. We're talking over a century of excellence with Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. Maybe it's time to say I do, or at least get the question answered. Wedding rings. Maybe it's a birthday or anniversary. A spectacular selection of earrings, necklaces, pendants. And for you, maybe it's time to check out a new watch. What do they have for your wrist? Sauter Heyman, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Can talk some Husker football with Rick. He's a huge Nebraska guy. And enjoy yourself when you find your way to Sauter Heyman this fall football season. A timeout, weekend edition of Hail Varsity rolls on. Grant Wistrom next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, a Super Bowl champ, a national champion three times over, college football and Nebraska Hall of Famer. We say hi to Grant Wistrom. Grant, what are you doing, man?
About the same thing I'm doing every time I think we talk. I'm sitting out in front of my kid's school waiting to pick them up. I really don't know if I'd do anything else.
How's the traffic? Is it a free-flowing setup, or are you gridlocked?
No, I try to get here early enough that I can peel out pretty quick. My son has a routine down. He doesn't like to be at school any longer than he has to, so he's usually one of the first ones out. So it can get a bit hairy, but we've kind of got a good program down, and we get out of here pretty quickly.
The escape route, well planned by Grant Wistrom. I like it. So I need a letter grade from you, Grant, on the black shirts, the Adidas alternative jerseys that at some point Nebraska will wear this year. An ode to your crew, those black shirts. What do you think?
I think they look pretty awesome, man. You know, I get maybe a little hesitation, you know, everybody wearing the black shirt on their shoulder, but at some point, man, everybody's got to have a little black shirt in them. And I know our offense does. I know the guys love to fight on the other side of the ball, so we'll let them wear it a couple times a year.
What does it mean to have a little black shirt in them?
Oh, man, you can't, I don't think we have enough time here, Schmitty, to sum it all up, but just you're never out of the fight. You're always swinging. I don't care how many times you get knocked down, you pick yourself back up. Just at the end of the game, the other guy knows that he's been in a street fight. You know, hopefully we come out on top, but at the end of it all, you're going to have respect for me because I'm going to do my best to just punish you on every snap and just beat you into submission. And, you know, I really think Scott thinks the same way. I think he wants his offense to have that same sort of mentality. So, you know, if it's good enough for us on the defensive side of the ball and they get a chance to wear it and they can wear it with pride and earn it, I'm fine with it, man.
A few minutes, Grant Wistrom with us, Hail Varsity Radio. That's a great answer. And, you know, what's your outlook for 2019? I'm not asking for a win total, but what do you think year two is going to bring?
Improvement. You know, I don't think there's any doubt there's going to be improvement. You know, I want to temper my excitement a little bit. Everything, you know, I'm down here in Southwest Missouri, so I don't have a line to the program like you do, Schmitty, but, you know, everything I read on social media and everything I'm hearing, the men have put in work in the off season, they deserve to expect to win. You know what I mean? They've earned the right to feel that way, I think. So, I think they'll take the field with a lot more confidence this year, having another year under Coach Shenander and Scott. So we're going to have a better football team out there for sure. But the only thing that matters to me is just seeing men out there that take pride. And I say it every time I'm on with you. Mm-hmm. Take pride in the uniform. Take pride in playing for the University of Nebraska. Care about playing for each other. And if they do that, it's going to be an amazing season.
When and where did you get that confidence to perform and grow as a player? When you got to Lincoln, you played as a freshman. Along your journey, when did it click for you?
You know, I think it started for me in high school.
Okay.
You know, and not that, but just that mentality, but just the fact that I'm here, I'm going to show up every day, I'm going to bust my ass. I'm going to put in 100%, and whatever happens, happens. But it's not if I don't get the starting job or if I'm not, you know, a big role player, if I'm not a factor on the team, it's not going to be because I wasn't working hard enough to earn that. That was never going to be an issue. I was always going to outwork everybody else on the field. And that was something that started in high school, you know, and looking back, you know, knowing that I was going to play in the NFL, maybe I had the potential or the athletic ability to throttle back a little bit in high school and get by on athletic ability. But I never felt that way. I always played with a chip on my shoulder that I had something to prove every time I stepped on the field, you know, and that started in high school. It was enhanced at the University of Nebraska when I got to play for Coach McBride, and just there learning to play for the guys around you. And, you know, that was also enhanced by, you know, my love for Jason and, you know, my love for my other teammates. And that is a big factor. When you care about the guys you're going to battle with, you play harder. You play for each other. I could take a play off and look myself in the mirror and probably be all right with it. But I couldn't take a play off and look Jason in the eyes afterwards. Because I care about Jason. I love Jason. I don't want to let him down or any of the other guys out there on the field with me. So it started in high school, but just along the way it was enhanced. And I've been really blessed about being at the right place at the right time, whether it was in high school or college or the NFL. So I know that, you know, I've been really fortunate to be around a lot of great players and a lot of great coaches that have just bought into that same type of mentality and really reinforced it in me. And it truly made the teams that I was on, it took them from good to great. You know, it took me from a good player to a better player. So it works, that mentality. When you care about, take pride in what you're doing, care about the men you're out there with, it translates to wins. And the way that Scott leads just reinforces that on his players. They love him. They love each other. They're going to go out on that field and play for each other on, you know, next Saturday. And you're going to be like that every Saturday from here on out.
You just touched on what gave you motivation. You clearly outlined the accountability. You had self-policing. You had a standard you set for yourself, but you had teammates that also made sure everyone was accountable. That's key, and I think that's what Scott's continuing to build. When it comes to toughness, that's something that I took from him in Chicago with media days. He wants to see his guys be tough every game. Easy to say, hard to do. You guys in the 90s were a tough unit. The offense was tough. The defense was tough. You made each other better. Where did you get your toughness from? Is it your folks? Was it a coach? Was it McBride? Was it your teammates? How are you tougher than the next guy? Because you outlasted a lot of folks. You had talent. But when push came to shove, you were one of the few, the last men standing.
You know, there's definitely men all along, and teammates and people that have helped enhance that all along the way. But I give all of the credit to my dad when it comes to that. He deserves it all, man. He never let us settle for second best. He was the first person in line to tell us great job when we did something that was worthy of that. But he was also the first person in line to tell us that was dog crap, whatever we just did. And he earned the right to say that. I mean, he poured into, like, everybody knows Tracy, and Tracy played at Nebraska, but I have an older brother, Chance, too, that played at a Division II school in Missouri. And he poured into us every day as kids. And we were his only friends. I mean, the poor guy doesn't have any friends now because we were the only ones he had growing up, because he was constantly coaching us or being around us or being a part of our lives. So that mentality, that toughness came from my dad. And when I didn't demonstrate it, he was the first one to check me on it. And I thank God. I mean, I can think of a handful of moments of conversations we had or interactions that we had that were defining moments for me that was like, okay, that wasn't satisfactory. That wasn't up to par. I've got to raise my game. And I've taken those lessons on with me, but it all started with my dad. And but once again, being in the right place at the right time around a lot of great coaches and a lot of great players. I mean, Christian Peter, Terry Keneally, Jason Pesterfield, all on the D line when I came in as a freshman. Those guys are all hardworking, tough guys, and to see them doing it every day, there was no other alternative. You just did what they did.
How did they mentor you? I know they did it with their actions. When it came to their words or counsel, how did they connect with you and show you the way, kind of take you under their wing?
You know, it was more just observation and watching them. You know, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any kumbaya moments with any of those guys, I promise you.
I don't think so.
But no. But it was mainly just by watching how they worked. How much pride they took in their job, how much pride they took in just busting their ass in the weight room, on the practice field, taking pride in playing for Coach McBride and Coach Osborne, and wearing the uniform and the black shirts. It's, you know, watching them and the respect that they had for the place where they were in life, and me coming on as a peon freshman, there was just no other alternative. It was just, the standard was set. And I had no other choice but to follow that standard, and I did it willingly. And you know, hopefully carried that standard, maybe elevated it some with Jason, and, you know, tried to push the envelope even a little bit further.
Who did you mentor? You had a string of defensive ends after you that played in the league. Nebraska recruited exceptionally well, but the culture was at a very, very high level. Who did you reach out to, if anybody, that you tried to show and talk to?
You know, I was really, Chad Kelsey is still a dang good friend of mine. We're pretty kind of cut from the same cloth. So you know, it was easy connecting with Chad. Kyle Vandenbosch was another guy. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not claiming any of Kyle's success. He took the whole, you know, the defensive end and just, I think, elevated, especially at the professional level. And that guy was a guy that really needed no mentoring. He came in from day one acting like he'd been there before. So, you know, and for me, it wasn't, there weren't any kumbaya moments for me either. You know, at that point in my career, it was like either you're with us or you're against us. And if they were not with us, they were clearly against us and they weren't welcome. And so either you bought in or you worked yourself out of it really quickly.
Grant Wistrom, couple of minutes left here, Hail Varsity Radio. Grant, always love chatting with you. Thanks for the time on this. And I wanted to ask you about expectations, and I know we touched on kind of the outlook a little bit ago. Were you guys able to walk that fine line with confidence but not being overconfident? That's one thing I'm wondering about this team. I think they're good enough to have success, but handling that success, Nebraska has not been at a high level for a while.
I don't see that being an issue, man. Because so just to start your question off, like, it was never, we won the Big Eight, or we won a national championship. It was like, okay, what's next?
Okay.
You know, there was never any moment where anyone was ever satisfied. You know, as soon as we won a national championship, you come back, you have the parade, you have all that stuff, and we were back to work. You know, it wasn't like, hey, let's sit back and enjoy this. It was like, no, we got to suit back up and do this again. And I don't anticipate, you know, with a win or two coming their way, these guys, they want to win. You know, the coaches are winners. They're not going to be satisfied with a 7-win season, I don't think. So, you know, if they go out and get a few wins early, I probably would expect Coach Frost to be a little bit harder on the guys. You know, keep the heads in check. You know, probably not talking as glowingly in the media about his team as one might if, you know, at that position after having a string of unsuccessful seasons. Trying to keep him from getting a big head, knowing that, like, guys, that's great. We won 4 games, 5 games, 6 games in a row, but what's the end game? What's the goal? Is it to be an 8-win season, to be above 500, or is it to compete for a Big Ten championship? If that's your goal, it doesn't matter what we did last week. It's what are we going to do this week? That game is irrelevant at this point. We learn from our mistakes, and now when we suit up on this Saturday, it's all about what we're going to do right now, because the past does not matter.
Big matchup, week 2 against Colorado. What Nebraska-Colorado mean to you?
Oh, that's funny. I was actually just reliving that earlier today with somebody. But
oh, really?
Man, yeah. I love playing. Colorado is the best stadium to play in when you're on the road. Just the fans being right on top of you, the animosity between the fans and the players. When we played out there my senior year, we about had a brawl between the fans and Jason and I on the sideline. I mean, it got intense.
Okay, stop there. Set the scene. What's happening? Are people throwing beer bottles at you or what?
No. Somebody said something unfavorable about Christian, yelled it at Jason. Sure. Jason yelled something unfavorable back to them about their daughter.
Wow.
And people were started coming over the railing. And it was exciting. I was really hoping somebody would actually put their foot on the field. You know, things like that, getting, you know, one-fingered waves from 80-year-old women as you're driving into the stadium. It's awesome. I love playing in Boulder. I'm jealous I'm not going to be out there, because it, with all the hype coming in around that game and just the bad blood, the history between the programs of Adrian getting hurt last year, it is going to be a street fight, and I'm really sorry I'm not going to be out there in the mix.
Well, Grant, we're going to be set up in Boulder. We'll FaceTime you if we need reinforcements. How's that sound?
Please do, man.
Grant, good to get caught up, man. Thanks for the time.
Anytime, Schmitty.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll Tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurz for Mark Kranak. Two birds, one stone for Colton Stone. And you find and read Brandon Vogel on HailVarsity.com and Hail Varsity Magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Get his book, Dream Like a Champion, with John Cook. We say good morning as it is college football season again to Brandon Vogel. Vogues, you have your smoker already puffing out smoke right now. You have some sort of delicious red meat on the smoker, and you're getting ready for Florida-Miami many hours early. Am I correct?
I wish you were. I'm not playing at 100% today, so I'm currently considering what kind of soup I might need to make. So.
You're sick?
Not the kickoff to the college football season I was hoping for, although it does like firmly probably plant me on the couch to starting at 2 p.m. for Bo Pelini and the Penguins.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, but you just skipped right over Villanova and Colgate. They also go today.
I didn't even know. What time is that game on?
It's at 12. I don't know if this is – oh, this is Eastern. It's at 12 Eastern. Villanova and Colgate. I think Villanova is actually pretty good. This is FCS, by the way.
Yeah, they usually are. But I wasn't even aware. So I'll definitely have that on.
Yeah, Colgate. Colgate. Right.
Here's what I know about Colgate.
You brush with it.
They have kind of cool helmets because they just say apostrophe gate on it, and it's sort of arched like LSU a little bit. So
I can honestly sit here and say, where is Colgate? I don't even know. I'm assuming Boston area, like half
no,
of all colleges.
I'm really disappointed. I like pride myself on knowing these things. I want to say New York, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, well, they go today. But how about the U at Florida though tonight? That's pretty good. 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Watching the first game day of the season with the kind of bizarre Disney World background behind them. I kind of wish they would just play this game right on Disney World's Main Street. I think that would be fun. You just go straight towards the Magic Kingdom. That's the end zone.
That would be a good shot.
That's so good. That's funny. Vogues, listen, let's get into some of the news and notes as Nebraska kind of wrapped camp yesterday. They'll keep working towards South Alabama. And the two things, one, the jerseys that Scott Frost wants to use as the alternate road jerseys if the black shirts have a good performance. Two, the Cam Jurgens is our center declaration. But don't read too much into it, as he followed up with that. So let's start with the center part, and Kranak and I touched on that, and we're pretty wowed, but it's okay to be excited about it too, just because of what the potential is. I mean, are you surprised, man, that when push comes to shove, this is the direction they're going with Jurgens? Not that he's not really good or can't be talented, but just based on his injury history.
Yeah, it's really hard not to read too much into it when he's called a game changer, and it's said that their offense just looks different with him in there. And it's kind of been an entire offseason of that, as he's kind of gone, you know, through these injuries, and you didn't quite know, is he good to go? Is he not good to go? Like, through the entire time, it's Cam Jurgens is elite. Cam Jurgens is elite. Our offense is better with him in there. So I'm not surprised that if he's available and ready to go, that he's the guy. They kind of laid the groundwork the entire offseason for, like, hey. And I don't even know. Like, I'm really excited to see what we're going to see next Saturday just based on sort of the buildup. I mean, you think about, like,
if this were a running back or a wide receiver we were talking about, it would be holy crap. It's a little bit muted because it's a center, and you really have to pay attention. But Frost made it pretty clear over the offseason, like, he thinks this guy, this one guy, makes their offense that much better. So let's see what we can see on Saturday.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And Chris, you just brought up something that we did not even really talk about in the opening segment this morning. Cam Jurgens, you talk about defying odds here. Like, the guy has never played offensive line. He's a freshman. He's moving to, of all the offensive line positions, center, where you got to know everything and make all the calls. Plus, he's been injured. Like, we didn't even talk about that part, Chris. Plus, he's been injured. And despite all that, Frost is like, yep, that's our guy. That's our guy. Yep, for sure. Like, his physical traits have to be off the freaking charts. Like, almost generational. Are we overselling it by saying that?
Keep selling. I'm buying.
Well, I can't say yes for sure, because of all the reasons you just mentioned. I mean, it's sort of one thing for a guy to move from guard to center. At least that he's kind of been in the trenches, like he knows. But at center, you've got to know what everybody's doing. So to go from, and I know tight end plays in line a lot. It's not, you're not coming from running back, but which would be very strange. I don't know if that's ever happened. But
give us 5 years.
At center.
give Zach Duvall a raise if that happens. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it seems like a lot. I know Cam played tight end, but playing tight end at the high school level is a whole different animal from what you're asked to do at this level. And to jump right in there, right into literally the middle of the line, and be able to assess what's happening, what needs to happen, how you need to adjust that is a big mental challenge. So I think you're right. Like, you can bet on there being a pretty sharp learning curve there, and you're going to have to at least early on make it up with the physical ability, and I think that's probably where he does at this early stage in his career.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, we were talking yesterday and into today about, you look at Nebraska's schedule, what pops out first, 10 wins or 4 losses? I'm looking at HailVarsity.com. Derek Peterson, we love Dr. Petey. 2 really good stories on how Nebraska goes 7-5 and how Nebraska goes 10-2. And just a quick little blurb. Last 5 years, 56 different teams have won 10 games in the regular season. Those teams have played 193 one-possession games. And their win percentage is almost 80%. All right. Nebraska is not good in one possession games, 9-17. When you look at Nebraska's schedule, I'm not going to ask, first give me, do you see 4 losses or 10 wins? How many one possession games do you see on the schedule?
So the first one, I think, when I just look at it and react to it, I think I'm closer to the 10 win side, but yep. I think based on where Nebraska has been, you almost have to go like, okay, what are the four most likely losses? Because that would be, that would be pretty good progress. If you just take Nebraska's record last year at face value, you're flipping it. You're doubling your wins and having your losses. And that would be pretty reasonable. So if I had to like force myself, that's probably where I'd start. The one possession game thing. Oh boy. I mean, you can count on maybe minus that Maryland game. I think almost all of November could be. So Purdue, Wisconsin, Iowa, at that point you got 2 bye weeks this year that helps. But it's sort of survival of the fittest at that point. And I think Nebraska can hold its own on that front plenty well. But just a road game at Purdue, until we see a little bit more of them, I don't think you can totally write them off. And then, of course, the Ohio State game. So I think those are probably the 4 four most likely one possession ones off the top of my head.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Look, we're a week out, and I've done almost no prep on South Alabama, like as an actual team. You know, it's been all Nebraska. It's been all kind of the season, kind of the long game. But stuff's about to get real in a hurry. And by the way, I just checked the weather. Lightning is forecast.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? I saw 73 and partly cloudy, and that's what I was taking to bed with me. Now you're bringing this lightning up?
Lightning. Yep. So that would be amazing.
At 11 a.m.?
Look, you know, you got the weather app.
Yeah.
It just has like a cloud or a sun or lightning. Yeah. It's got lightning
next to it. It's for after the game.
I'm just saying. But 73 degrees, which is good. So, you know, you're not going to have people dropping and getting taken out on stretchers quite as much compared to those 100-degree days that typically have for home openers. But it's going to get real. There's going to be actual football. There's an actual whole other team from South Alabama coming in. What, if any, challenge do they face? Like the spread is very much in Nebraska's favor. what do you expect, like, just pure, like, sort of matchup-wise?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think covering that spread is going to be a challenge because it's up around 36, 37 points. I don't think South Alabama is going to be very good in 2019. Sagarin had them in the ratings that were just released this week behind 30-some FCS teams. They were very much in a year zero situation last year with a first year head coach. I think defensively, they've got some athletes and can challenge Nebraska on that front. I haven't looked that closely at them yet either since I did it for the yearbook. So I'm kind of forgetting some key guys' names, but they have an all conference defensive lineman who's a guy you kind of have to find and be ready for, who's kind of a borderline NFL prospect. Got a pretty good running back. They're not great at quarterback, I don't think. They've got a dual threat guy back there who's very much a runner ahead of the thrower. In reading a little bit of the coverage about them over the past couple of weeks, the passing stats that they've put out from their practice periods are not that strong. So I think that's it. Can the defense, when you look at next Saturday's game, can South Alabama's defense, you know, make a couple of negative plays? Does Nebraska lose its focus a little bit? I mean, when you're looking at a spread this big, it almost has to get crazy from a turnover perspective to get a little dicey for Nebraska. Either that, or we're totally wrong about Nebraska and South Alabama, and 10, 12 weeks from now, we'll look back at that spread and be like, well, that was way off. But I don't think that's the case.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, give me, does Nebraska go two captains, four captains, six captains, and if so, who?
Yeah, I think probably four. That's what they did last year, two offense, two defense. Coach Ross mentioned yesterday that's probably what they're looking for, and it may not be seniors. The two best leaders on both sides there. I'd be really surprised if Adrian Martinez, sophomore, was not one of those. Muhammad Berry is probably the overall favorite to land one of those spots. So I'm expecting them to have four. Probably find out about that on Monday with the first in-week press conference of the season.
Here's my four. I've got Mo and Adrian, Farniok and Damian Jackson.
I'm going to go I would swap Damian for Darian.
Daniels?
Even though he's new.
No. That's Darian. Fine. That's a good call.
Even though he's new, everybody has talked about him as a leader ever since he stepped on campus. And then on offense, definitely Adrian, and then I think it's sort of a toss-up between Stoll and Farniok.
Oh, Stoll. Interesting. Yeah, I'm with Schmitty. I think Martinez and Farniok are kind of the two most likely options on offense in my power rankings. And then Darian Daniels, I hadn't thought of, but that would be really interesting if he were to come in and basically in 5 months demonstrate enough, because this is a player vote to kind of win that vote from his teammates. You know, he's got a couple of senior options there. on the defensive line. Maybe you know, I wonder if DiCaprio Boodle ends up close to the top two on defense. I'd be a little bit surprised if he crept in there, but it's you know, when you get down to kind of this discussion right here, you really do realize how young Nebraska still is.
Oh, geez.
Bogues, got to ask you before we say goodbye on, you know, I look at the Big Ten, and the last couple of years you've had a playoff team derailed, Michigan by Iowa, Ohio State by Iowa, and then Purdue derailing Ohio State's chances at a run. And Iowa has been 8-4, 9-win, 10-win. I mean, they've been good, right? They've been a good team. Purdue, a team that was 500 last year, and previous to that, a team that was, you know, just a mess. So Brahms got his signature win already. My thought here is, back to Nebraska's schedule, is there a danger like that? I'm not saying a 40-point thrashing, but of the teams you kind of sit back and say Nebraska should never lose to, right? Which team on the schedule could I'll say, scare Nebraska in 2019?
Yeah, that Purdue game is the one that jumps out, but I think you're right. At this point, like, nobody's overlooking Purdue,
right?
Especially going on the road. So it's probably for this season, Indiana at home. You know, and I think Indiana's a borderline bowl team. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to get over that hump the past 2 years. They've been at basically 5-7. But you know, they're a team that plays really tough. They defend you well. It's different than that Kevin Wolfen era Indiana where you're just like, well, they can get you in a shootout and you're just going to have to outshoot them. Now they're more of kind of a grinded down. They're really sound defensively, and being at home, you know, Nebraska would have to have an off day, I think, for that one to get dicey. But if it does, like, Indiana's, I think, disciplined enough to kind of, if it's a game going into the fourth quarter, well, they're going to fight you tooth and nail to spring that one. So I think that's the kind of most classic example of a game where you're like, Nebraska shouldn't lose this. You shouldn't lose the Indiana at home. So it's a little bit of a danger zone for that from that perspective.
Bogues, tell the folks what they can get with Hail Varsity. Amazing opportunity to subscribe.
Yeah, so changed our subscription model recently, just a couple of weeks ago, actually. Kind of streamlined that thing to make it simple for people. It's now just $2.99 a month. You get everything we do online. You get a magazine 11 months a year. Only month we take off there is July, but we make the yearbook three times the size to tide you over until the volleyball issue arrives. That's on newsstands now. Get ready for the red-white scrimmage tonight. So a lot of good stuff. It's good to be back in season. Content is ramping up in terms of just how much is going on the site. And I'm really encouraged with some of the kind of the nerdy interior staff meetings we've had about, hey, what's this season about? Like, what do we want to write about? What's interesting to us? And now we just get to go find those stories.
Real quick, we can't be remiss if we didn't mention it. Ale Varsity.
Mm-hmm.
A beer? Ale Varsity. Can you just, for people that are just tuned, partnered with Kincaid Brewing to produce it's a collab. It's a custom beer. It's called Ale Varsity.
Kranex already purchased a straw.
How freaking cool is that?
Yeah, it kind of started as a, you know, it'd be cool about a year ago if we had a beer. And here we are almost exactly a year later. And we have one thanks to good folks at Kincaid and some hard work for some people on our team to get it there. It's, you know, a pretty classic light ale, perfect for football season. That's where we want it to start. 100% Nebraska hops. And it launches next Friday, downtown Lincoln. So if you go to the Hail Varsity Facebook page, you can you can find the details for that, and definitely let us know if you're coming. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Is that going to be on taps or bottles? Like, how do you actually get it?
Yeah, it's on tap now. Cans are in the future, depending. It's definitely in the future. No date on those yet, but for now, the only place to get it is downtown in the rail yard or at Kincaider's Tap Room right there in downtown Lincoln, and it is on tap only for now.
Fantastic.
So swing over and find us in the rail yard. Big, great stuff. Folks, you're awesome. Either get some beef broth or some chicken noodle soup, man. Get to feeling better, all right? Thanks for powering through today.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Take care. There he is. That is Brandon Vogel, and you can find him and read him. His hot reads every morning, HailVarsity.com. Also, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. A quick timeout. More thoughts on Nebraska in 2019 when we come back with Hail Varsity.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. Going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. A week from this morning, we will be in the rail yard outside the Hail Varsity Herd Ed offices, ready to get you fired up for Nebraska, South Alabama, the Weekend Edition on the road. Fridays, Home Football Fridays, we are at the Graduate Hotel, 4 to 6. Myself and Jay Moore, that'll be outstanding. 9th and P is where you go for that. We'll be giving away Nebraska football tickets on Fridays. That rocks. And we'll get you locked in for the longest drive competition with their Top Golf Suite simulators. So, going to be rolling on Fridays. Kranak, we had... help me here with the Twitter handle.
You getting me? I'm getting called out here.
You are. It's Reinheim is what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. Wonderful listener. He asks what the hell your partner's talking about when it comes to, quote, lightning. Mm-hmm. There's no damn lightning in the forecast for next Saturday, Kranak.
But it depends on the app you're looking at.
Reinheim has got a picture here, and it says partly cloudy for next Saturday, 72 degrees, east and northeast wind at 8 miles per hour, 20% chance precipitation.
Great. And according to this, I don't know what he's using there. Can you tell?
I'm going to go with it, though.
Well, sure.
Reinheim needs to send us a picture of the forecast.
I'm about to tweet this.
Every Saturday morning, he's going to be our weather dude. And now you're tweeting out mostly sunny in Lincoln, and it says clouds with lightning for next Saturday.
I got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
Yes. I just got your DM.
Yeah, you know the iPhone weather app.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Just pull that up.
I did.
Look at the 10-day.
I did.
You get to Saturday. What is the icon next to Saturday?
Well, I'm looking at Boulder, not Lincoln, and it just has smoke.
Well, that's a whole different thing. That's a lot of potheads there. But no, you look at the Lincoln forecast for that day, and it has a lightning bolt coming out of a cloud.
I have partly cloudy.
Yes,
Mark.
Colton's going to rule here.
What are you talking about? On the iPhone?
Yeah. Now, mine is an iPhone 6 still, so, you know, maybe
you don't have any radiation. You're avoiding the radiation.
That's right.
With a 6. And you have a working 6.
Barely,
which is like kind of a working Pinto.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've got partly cloudy, though. So I'm, you know, that doesn't mean there couldn't be rain or lightning, but my phone's not telling me any. Hell will not break loose yet.
Okay. Let's shift gears to a question that'll be answered Monday. But I want to go roundtable with this. Is Maurice Washington running the football a week from today for Nebraska? Or is he watching? The way he's practiced, the way he's played, I'm not here to take calls or tweets with outrage. Well, he shouldn't be playing, or, well, yeah, he should be playing. Frost is going to be the decider. The courts are going to be the decider. The legal system will be the decider on that. Okay. If you have no decision from courts or attorneys, or do you play the guy? And I ask that because you've let him practice. You've tried to keep him in a structured environment. It looks like he's done his job because he looks like a completely different dude. I mean, just as big and fast as he is. If no one's ruled on anything yet, then I don't know that I suspend the guy.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on it. But the thing, too, is you do have, if they do make a decision, you do have the luxury of a red shirt if they had to go that route, if they feel comfortable with they have it running back.
And I think they feel nice with Mills. Yeah. And I think you've got some young guys, Colton, that are nice.
Mm-hmm. Miles Jones.
But Mo is pretty good as hey, kid, get in there and play.
Yeah, well, he knows. Freshman. He knows the system. He's gotten better, bigger and stronger over the summer. I think it's one of those that if there's no decision, or they rule in favor of Washington, or you don't hear anything, if there's no news or no updates, I don't see an issue with Frost saying that he can play.
Or do you sit him based on decision making that happened while he was?
That's the thing.
I know the pot stuff got dropped as well,
right?
But just the decision making. Maybe he's actually turned the corner and he's a changed dude. Who knows, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a really fine line to walk.
We all grow up at a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
Kranak, what do you think? Do you see Mo carrying the ball next Saturday?
No.
Okay.
No, and I think it's probably more to do with caution and or punishment, you know, for the weed thing. And you don't need him against South Alabama.
Okay.
But you'll be wrong. But
so then
I'm like 51% no.
Okay.
As a, you know, I'm not strongly no, but it's, yeah, he got busted with the weed. He's got this court situation. I could see them sitting him. But then again, he has been repping a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not wasting valuable reps on somebody that you don't think is going to be a part of things.
Right.
So we'll see. I don't know. That's a tough one. I think you get a heavy dose of Wandale, though.
Well, and I mean, that'd be great. Is Wandale 100% right now to get a heavy dose of Wandale? I don't know. I think you get a heavy dose of Diedrich. I think he's running downhill. And then I think you break in Ramir Johnson. I think you look at some of the other kids you have at back. I mean, guys want to get in rhythm and get into the flow, yes. But you've got Colorado looming as well. I'm going to be interested to see how many snaps some guys get that are going to be eventually very vital to the offense. As of now, I don't know where they're at from a health standpoint. No one's completely decimated injury-wise, but I think there's been some nagging stuff that's been ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brandon mentioned it. The spread is, what, 37 or something?
I thought it was 38.5. Or is it down to 36?
36-ish, somewhere in there.
36
yeah.
to 38.
So, yeah. And he said it'd be tough to... I don't think it's going to be tough to cover that.
I think they're going to play a lot of people. I think that's the thing, right? I mean, you could be up by 45 most of the game, and then it's fourth and fifth team guys, and maybe Nebraska's fifth team is not as good at getting off the field on third down against South Alabama's first team. I don't know.
as we sit here today, though, can you envision Nebraska scoring less than 45?
No.
I just, right? Like, that's...
Unless it's 42.
That's your... Well...
That'd be the only way.
Listen to you calling out Pickering already. What did he do to you? He's not going to miss. He's been working hard.
I think more so the point is that Colton was thinking Nebraska will not be kicking a lot of field goals this year. They're going to be scoring touchdowns.
Probably that's, not.
But you start at 40. It's like minimum 42 to 45, right? And then can you envision South Alabama, who Brandon also mentioned, is picked behind 30 FCS teams?
Yeah.
Right, so you're not talking about a
South
super
Alabama
quality
maybe
opponent.
Gets 14 points.
I kind of cap it at 17, right?
Yeah,
it's just sort of like. So I don't know. I'm actually expecting 50 plus from Nebraska.
55-10.
Yeah.
All right.
Just
what's wrong with it?
Think about it. Your entire offense is back. You got year two in the system. They're in better shape than ever. You got a Heisman candidate at quarterback. Like, it's, come on, right? Like they're gonna roll. I think
it'd be really cool for Adrian to throw for 475 and run for 200.
How long does he play though? That's my question.
He plays a half.
Listen to the days that we're back into.
Right. I mean, you're still 4-8, and we're like, you know, it's going to be hot dogs and Coca-Cola on the sideline, just like the mid-90s.
It's Pepsi now.
I know, dude, but the Fountain Coke at Memorial Stadium is still undefeated. And if you sneak in an airplane bottle of Jack Daniels,
hey,
it was fantastic.
That's illegal.
I hear. Quick timeout, and let's do a little road tripping. We'll get caught up with Jerry DiNardo, the coach in the Big Ten Network. The bus tour rolled through Lincoln. Some of Coach's thoughts on the Big Red when we come back. Hail Varsity continues weekend edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio. Big Ten bus tour is roared through Lincoln. We welcome in the coach, Jerry DiNardo, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, thanks for squeezing us in today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. So what was your takeaway from Lincoln today? Let's start with what maybe changed your mind about Nebraska. Earlier this summer, you thought Nebraska, maybe a little too much hype around him. What do you feel? What do you think now after seeing him today?
Yeah, I guess what I was saying was that, you know, I think I'm in the same boat as a lot of people. I'm very confident that Coach Frost is going to get this thing going the way it used to be going in at Nebraska during the great year. So I'm confident that that's going to happen. I just didn't think that they would be not competitive, but I didn't think they would win the Big Ten West this year. After watching practice and watching and looking and seeing how they've totally changed the physical presence, I mean, they're so much bigger and stronger after 1 year. And after seeing some schools, now I haven't seen Iowa, who I expect to be a very good team. I haven't seen Northwestern, who will be a good team. I haven't seen Illinois, that will be an improved team. I could see why people say that, you know, Nebraska could win the West. I'm not predicting that they're going to win the West. But at least now people that have picked them to win the West, I get it. And during media days, I really didn't get it. I get Scott Frost. I don't have any doubt that he's going to do a great job. I didn't think they would progress this fast. I've changed my mind. I think they're progressing faster than I thought.
What's that say to you, how quickly they've progressed when it comes to Coach Duvall and strength and conditioning? I mean, you've taken over different programs where you had to get guys up to the level you wanted them to be at. Nebraska's transition here, their jump from a year ago. I mean, are you shocked? Are you surprised by it?
Well, it's two things, right? It's developing, and Coach Duvall's got a great reputation, and I could see why. It's developing the players that you inherited from the previous staff, and it's also recruiting. And nowadays, Chris, it's also who was in the transfer portal,
right,
and who you could get in here almost like an NFL roster as a free agent to try to help. But I think they've done all three of those things. They've obviously trained during the offseason. They've recruited well. and they've also gone to the transfer portal, found some guys that can help them, and they're certainly helping them. Now, you know, there's probably a depth problem at outside linebacker, which, you know, is a serious issue in this type of scheme. And I think they would maybe like some bigger, taller, faster guys on the perimeter, especially in the spread offense, as wide receivers, and I think they'll work in that direction in recruiting.
Coach, did you get to spend any time with Greg Austin? I know you're an offensive line guy. Were there any impressions about Nebraska's O-line? Yes, we mentioned size, but from a group standpoint, what did you think of the O-line group you had a chance to see?
Yeah, much bigger than I remember them from last year. I spent a lot of time with Greg Austin. I did a mic'd up that'll be on the big show tonight. And so I had a chance to visit with him, but I visited with Coach Austin a lot before practice, and, you know, we talked about offensive line play. You know, I mean, I know it's going to get better, but I would say this. A year ago when we came, and Howard and I always walk around together, we said, you know, it just doesn't look like Nebraska. And then this year we came and we said, this is what we all thought Nebraska should look like. And yet, it's just the second year, and they're just going to get better. They're obviously not going to get worse. You never stay the same. So the offensive line was big, physical. I'm sure there's some guys that need work. I'm sure I didn't study it the way Coach Austin does and the way Coach Frost does. And I'm sure there's a lot of work to be done there, but it was impressive just coming and watching one practice.
What did you sense from Coach Frost when you interacted with him?
Just like he was when he was a player. He's just confident. He believes in the plan. He's a teacher. He's got a great presence about him. You know, I just think the world of him. You know, obviously he's a great fit here. I mean, that doesn't need to be said. But I do think this, Chris. I loved Ara Parseghian, and I played for Ara. And anyone that has been a player on a team, you always respect your coach. You know, sometimes they're hard on you, sometimes they're not. The thing about Ara, I wanted to be in his presence, and I think that's the way the Nebraska players feel about Scott. Fun to be around. Yeah, he's going to get on my butt. Yeah, he's going to tell me when I've done some things wrong. But when you want to be around your leader, I don't think there's any greater compliment, and I think that's what Scott is with his team.
Coach, did Jakeem Green make an impression on you at all, the new JUCO defensive lineman? Did you see much of him, or did you just stay with offense?
Well, I tried to go back and forth, but, you know, honestly, Chris, I'd just be making it up if I saw that. But the word is that he's done really well, and he's off to a good camp and all that. I think Howard probably watched him a little closer than I did. But I hate to make stuff up, but I looked at him a little, but I can't really say I evaluated him.
Okay, let's talk polls here before I let you go. And Jerry DiNardo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach and the bus crew, Dave Revson, Howard Griffith, in camp today, able to see Nebraska and do their Big Ten bus tour. When you look at the rankings here, preseason number 24, Nebraska, a thought on that, overall 7 Big Ten teams, I mean, is that enough proof right now by the AP that maybe the Big Ten has moved ahead of the SEC for best league? Maybe not best team, obviously, but best league?
Well, you know, a couple things come to mind. You know, Nebraska being ranked as high as they are right now after only winning 4 games. I think that's, again, I think this speaks to Scott Frost and the confidence and enthusiasm that he's brought. I don't think, Chris, there's a great team in the conference right now. You know, I think Ohio State has the better teams. And when you say so far, and I haven't been to Iowa, Illinois, and Northwestern, but when you talk about is there a college football playoff team in the Big Ten, I'm not sure there is at this time. Now, that could all change, but I think it's deeper than it's been. I've said this for a couple months. I think the West, in the Big Ten West, may be the most balanced, not the best, but the most balanced division in college football. And I'm going to tell you about the East. You know, you eliminate Illinois, Maryland, and Rutgers. Those four, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, they are going to beat the tar out of one another. Because of those four, there's nobody that has separated themselves. Some are better in this area, some are better in the other area. So I see nobody going undefeated in the East within the division, and I don't see anybody going undefeated in the West when they play divisional games. So I think both divisions are not going to neither division is going to have an undefeated team within their divisional play.
Coach, about 30 seconds. Did Adrian Martinez, what did he show you today?
You know, I think his rep is really deserved. He's mature beyond his years. He sat on the set with us. He answered questions. He just seems so reasonable and so sensible. My guess is, I mean, I didn't know Scott Frost when he was in college. I'm guessing Scott Frost had the same attitude, the same body language, the same way he dealt with the media and everything else, expectations, as Adrian does. So I'm guessing the two peas in a pod. And that's probably why they like each other so much and work together so well.
Jared DiNardo, Big Ten Bus Tour, Big Ten Network Coach, we appreciate you much. Thanks so much for jumping on today.
You bet, Chris. Take care.
Thanks. All right, there he is, Coach DiNardo.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. 1 week from today, it is Nebraska football 2019. We kick off.
Lightning.
We kick off South Alabama. We'll be in the rail yard outside the Hail Varsity. Her dad offices on the balcony.
Oh, we'll do that.
Party starting in the rail yard. Want to see you there Saturday. Want to see you out for the Hail or the Ale Varsity. During Friday with the beer unveiling in the rail yard, and then come see us at the Graduate for a roadshow Friday with Hail Varsity 4 to 6, 9th and P. Kranick, it's here, man. You've survived. We got through spring ball. We got through summer. Now it's football season again.
Well, and I like what the weather gods might be doing for next Saturday. So, fluid situation. This morning, lightning was appearing next to next Saturday's forecast. Again, fluid situation. It's since been updated to mostly cloudy or partly sunny. Yeah. Is that the same thing?
I don't know.
So partly sunny. But the temperature has been pretty consistent, 72 or 73.
How nice is that?
So you're looking at, yeah, like room temp. That would be the ultimate mulligan for the crap that Mother Nature pulled last week or last year. You know, like, get us some room temp. I mean, how many times have you gone to a September game where it is just roasting hot?
How many times have you gone to a September game and blacked out by the third quarter? Colton right now is looking down at the ground and making eye contact with nobody in studio right now. Give the award-winning Colton Stone a follow on Twitter at @2birds1stone, Mark Kranick at Mark Skurs, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio. Back at you Monday at 4 with Hail Varsity Radio. Kranick, have a good weekend.
You as well, sir.
Colton, be good. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you on Monday.